Now, we pray that these last few weeks that you have been encouraged with what God has led us to share. We pray that you have also not just been encouraged, but instructed to apply God's word to your life and to become, or maybe even apply in prayer, to become more thankful. Maybe the Lord has pinpointed some areas in your life that you're not really thankful, or that your thankfulness was shallow, kind of what, like Shannon mentioned this morning, that you would, you know, constantly find yourself saying thank you, but not really mean it. Pray that you would apply prayer to that and ask the Lord to help you to become more thankful. You see, God's word gives us instruction to be thankful. So many verses. I encourage you to do this. I did this several times this month of just going, you know, like Shannon mentioned, using Google. But Thanksgiving in Scripture. Be thankful in Scripture. There's lots of Scriptures that we are instructed to give thanks, just like this one. And Psalm 136, 1, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. This is what God desires from us, to give thanks to Him. To have in your mind to think you are thankful, that's not enough. That is not enough just to think in your head, oh yeah, I thank them. Oh yeah, God, thank you. And you're not saying it. You're not doing it. You're not showing it in your face. You're just thinking it. That's not enough just to think. It's just like it's not enough to think that you're saved. Scriptures tells us we have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, supreme authority, our number one in our life, the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. And so it's important that we understand that we just can't think our way to heaven. We can't think our way to holy living. We can't think our way to applying the gospel and think and just have it in our thought. Oh, yeah, I'll give. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Oh, yeah, I'll pray more. Oh, yeah, I'll apply. And you just think but not do. And so we have so many instructions by God's word that the giving of thanks ought to be evident in how we speak. That's why when we're thankful, what's going to come out of our mouths is not going to be ungratefulness. You know, kind of like, you know, if any of your kids ever did this, open the fridge, man, there ain't nothing to eat, slam. Or the pantry door, man, there's nothing to eat, slam. When there's plenty of food in the pantry, plenty of food in the fridge, they're just too lazy to make scrambled eggs, or, you know, they're too lazy to make, you know, 1 minute oatmeal. I mean, we have, if you can ever think about the many times that you've complained, it's come out of your mouth that you've complained. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you complained about your job? And God's like, I gave you this job. I gave you the ability and the memory to think and remember how to do this job correctly. And here you are complaining about this job? It doesn't add up. So we are to be, there needs to be evidence even in how we speak. The giving of thanks ought to be evidence in how we act and how we respond to the situations in life. Why? Why, Pastor? Why do I have to speak like I'm great, like I'm thankful? Why do I have to act like I'm thankful? Well, it helps that when we do so, we're not relying on our own wisdom. We're looking to what God has provided, to what God has done, to what God is presently doing in our lives. And we're thanking Him, because if we're thanking Him of what's going on in our situation, it's going to be evident in how we speak, yes, how we think, and how we act and respond to situations. Anybody ever have almost have nervous breakdown or a fit because you're stuck on the side of the road because something happened to your car? Anybody? I'm one of them. And in that moment, did that really please God? In that moment, did that really give evidence that I'm trusting in Him, and that all in all things, like Shannon mentioned this morning, that in all things give thanks unto God, for this is His will according to Jesus Christ. In those moments, I wasn't very thankful. I admit that there are days that my focus isn't being on thankfulness to God. Anybody want to Agree with me? All right. Where I've become impatient. Again, don't raise your hands. I'm just throwing these questions out, causing us to just maybe think, recollect, go back a few hours or maybe days. But how many of you have ever become impatient? I have. How many of you ever become self-centered? I have. How many of you become selfish? I have. Okay. And my mindset needs renovating. Your mindset in that moment, your thoughts, your feelings ought to get stepped on and put in check, so to speak, kicked to the curb probably, but your thoughts and your feelings ought need renovating. Therefore, I must repent in that moment. God, forgive me. My attitude ain't right. My thought process isn't right. My thinking is stinking thinking, and I need renovation. So how do you and I get renovation in our thoughts and in our feelings? Looking to God's word. All scripture, not just some, not just your favorite few, but all scripture is profitable for me and is profitable for you, that we would be able to use God's word for righteous living as it corrects us, as it instructs us for righteousness, scripture says. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, and we're going to read that. So you see, my mindset and your mindset needs renovating. Therefore, I need to repent, and I need to look to God's word for instruction. So let's stand and let's read this together, because this gives us instruction on how to live as believers in the church, out of the church, and its effect on the body of Christ. It says in verse 12, Colossians 3, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on what?
Love.
Oh, come on now. Put on what?
Love.
Yes, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. Finish the last part.
And be thankful.
And be thankful. Not think thankful. Not act thankful. Be thankful. This is what we ought to do. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that we hear, we listen to what the Spirit is saying so we could change, so that we can apply your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. My first point, first slide, I am thankful that God sent you. So let's go to the next slide. I'm thankful that God sent you because we're able to serve God together. I'm thankful that God sent you, the people of Hidden Treasures, the people that God has sent to HTAG. I kind of, you know, gave you a name if you're not knowledgeable on HTAG news. If you want to get involved and you want to know when someone has a prayer request, because that's pretty much what it is. It's not for gossip's sake. We don't want to hear anybody's gossip. We don't want to hear. We want to hear encouragement. And if there's any prayer requests on Facebook, HTAG News, send a request to it normally goes to me or Shannon. And then we'll go ahead and invite you to, is that right? Invite you? Yeah. And allow you to be a part of that Facebook page. But giving you the name HTAGers. So if you're not sure what that means, it's just part of HTAG, and you come to HTAG, Hidden Treasures Assembly of God. And so someone once thought, oh, hashtag? No, it's not hashtag. It's Hidden Treasures Assembly of God, and that's the acronym that we kind of gave. So HTAGers, so that's who you guys are. And so I am so thankful that God has sent you to become a part of this church body, who I am certain that you are praying for us. I am certain that you are praying for the leadership. I am certain that you are praying for the people, other people of Hidden Treasures Assembly, who I know also that you are alongside us in ministry. So many people are involved alongside us. When I say alongside us, that's from nursery workers to church cleaners to assistant teachers to teachers to volunteers to helpers in the foyer welcoming people. I want to say thank you. I'm so thankful. Shannon and I are thankful to God for you, that God sent you here, because the pastors and the leadership of this church cannot do all that we do on our own. And so that's why we serve God together, because we impact this community together, because we impact this state as a beacon of God's light, followers of Christ in this state, that we impact the world through missions, and we do so together. And I'm thankful for the people of Hidden Treasures. I'm thankful for the H-taggers. Let's go to my next slide. Go back. So I'm thankful that God has sent you. It's similar to this battle that Moses and Joshua encountered. Now you can go. In Joshua chapter 17, I'm going to read these scriptures here in a little bit, but I just wanted to point out this picture. And this is a passage that hopefully I'll get a chance to get some helpers to come up here in a little bit, and we're going to act this out a little bit. But you see, there's a battle. And in this battle of Exodus chapter 17, there's a physical one, but there's also a spiritual one going on in this battle. And we find this and we can relate to this. You see, this is why we're thankful. Because while we have people that God has sent to be a part of Hidden Treasures, there is a battle that we are fighting against the enemy. And I can count and I know that there are people who are praying with us, who are praying for us. And this is a spiritual battle that if you do not see yourself as a valuable part or tool, you are not looking correctly. You ought to see yourself as a prayer warrior. And if you're not there yet, then plan to get there to where you are battling with us in prayer. Listen, we have this church prayer list, and I don't know how many of you come and pick it up, how many of you actually pray, but every week we have about 80% of this is the same, week in, week out. There is a church prayer clipboard up here that if you have a prayer request, we ask that you write that request down, and every Tuesday night, and then maybe some of you pick it up on Wednesday or Sunday, and then you take it home and you pray. But we pray for these goals. We pray for these needs. And when we're praying, we're not just wasting a bunch of time just that God's people will make. No, we are spiritually fighting because we know that there's an enemy. You see, there's an enemy here against Moses and Joshua and God's people. And it's the army of Amalek or Amalek. And this army is out to ruin, to destroy, to kill. Kind of sounds like an enemy we have today, doesn't it? Who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, this army was coming against God's people. And we find, so let's go to Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Again, this is a physical fight because there are people physically fighting, but there's a spiritual aspect going on that we can look at today that we can actually relate to. And again, if you're not fighting, I pray that you plan to fight. Join with us. And so it goes from verse 8. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Now notice that. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steadily until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. Verse 14, after the victory, everyone say amen. Amen. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nisi, which means the Lord is my banner. He said, they have raised their fist against the Lord's throne. So now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation. If I can get my two awesome nephews to come on up here real quick, we're going to try to act this out. Use this chair here. Not sure which one of you want to be Aaron, which one of you want to be her, but... All right, you'll be Aaron. All right, her. All right. Not her, but her. Yeah. So. All right. So I don't. The warriors of Amalek. It's wicked schemes of the enemy, and Moses isn't perfect. He's not perfect. Just like your pastors aren't perfect. Just like your leaders aren't perfect. And so, but we covet your prayers. And I'm thankful to have people that we can count on to pray. But notice what scripture says here is that as he's lifting up, I don't have the staff. I forgot the staff. All right. So as he is lifting up the staff with both hands, it says that he lifted up the staff and that as long as he had the staff upraised, it was the staff of God, authority. The power didn't come. The power was not the staff. It was made out of wood. The power was of God. But the staff signified, this is my authority. So as long as Moses had his hands raised, but because he's human, because he got tired. And notice the verse said that as long as his hands were raised, the advantage was on God's people. But he started to get tired. And as he got tired, his hands went down. So one hand. And then so he had some helpers. He had helpers that were there helping him. This would have looked really better, really good if I had my staff. So, but it was to their advantage to have help. And when Moses had help with Aaron and Hur, now we're not going to stand here all day, but it says specifically in scripture till sunset. Understand this. I appreciate your prayers. But I would greatly appreciate your prayers longer than a few minutes. Longer than just one time a day. The leadership, not just me, not just Shannon, but the leadership. Just think of your Sunday school teachers. Just think of your children's teachers. Lifting them up in prayer. Because we have a real enemy. And just as the army of Amalek was wanting to destroy God's people, there is an enemy that we have. And you guys can kind of sit right there because I'm going to call you guys back up. So Joshua was told to choose some men to go fight. We're thankful to the church body. And we're asking you to keep fighting. We're not going to ask you for more things. Matter of fact, if you feel like you are kind of burdened, that there's a lot of weight or a lot of responsibility, pray and ask God who in the church that you can disciple to pass some of that on to. But we want to encourage you and say we continue to covet your prayers and to lift up your hands to God. You may not have a staff, but it feels good for you to hold up a staff, then hold up a staff. But to lift up this ministry. Again, Shannon and I aren't perfect. The leadership of this church isn't perfect. But as we continue to look to God, so if you're going to lift your hands, if not lift your hands, lift your eyes to the one where we can look to find our help. Amen? And so Moses told Joshua, go find some people and tell them, and so choose some men to go and fight. Our fight isn't against flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6 states that it's not against flesh and blood. We fight the real enemy, and it's Satan who wants to come to kill, steal, and destroy. But this enemy isn't going to just tinker and throw little pebbles at you. This enemy is not just wanting to divide you from God, but his desire is to divide you from you. His mentality is, if I can divide the people in the church, then I have a good grip on this church. Not just the people from God, but from one person to another person, then his plan will not fail. But when God's people are praying, and people that are not so praying, but on the fringes, you know, that if you ever played sports, maybe it was you that only went in the last 5 minutes of the game or the last minute of the game. Then practice more so that you can become more effective to get fully involved in the game. And our God is not going to look at you and say, well, because you're not so tall, I'm not going to use you. He is looking for anyone who would say, here I am, God, put me in. Here I am, God, I'm surrendered to you. Put me in the game, because he's looking at your heart. It doesn't matter if you are shy and timid or if you are boisterous and loud like me. He doesn't matter. He's looking at your heart And if you're willing, he'll use you. So Joshua was to go find some men. And so when he did, and I'm grateful that we can call on you to pray with us. And I know that even people are praying even as I'm speaking or as I was preparing today. So together we fight. Moses had given instructions that he was going, Moses was given instructions to Joshua. But notice what also Moses did. He said he was going to go on the hill. He was a part of it. Your pastors and hopefully your teachers are not going to encourage you to pray and they not pray. We are not going to encourage and exhort you to do something according to the word of God, and we are not going to do it. So understand that. We will not ask you to do what we will choose not to do. And so notice that Moses, he didn't go pick up a sword and swing it. He didn't grab a bow and arrow and shoot it at somebody. What he began to do was something spiritual. I mean, seriously, think about it. This is another thing about when God's people went around Jericho, they walked around a city to destroy a city. That kind of game plan ain't going to work today. Physically, you know, like if, you know, you were to walk around somebody. No, but if you were to lift up God and to pray and to be surrendered to God in prayer, that's where it makes sense. To the common person, what? You're just going to sit... Dude, why don't you get off that hill and come fight with us? He was doing something more important. He was going to God and he was lifting up his hands. And because as long as he had his hands lifted, the advantage was on God's people. And so our fight is spiritual. Not sure how many of you are praying. If you're not, wake up. Wake up. Because the enemy is lurking, and if you are not fighting and spiritually fighting, he already has his eyes set on you. He's already got you. It's kind of like if you've ever played dodgeball, you already know who the weak links are. So you're going to go for the harder ones because you know towards the end, the weak links, you already got them. You don't need to waste time on them. They can't even throw with their good hand. So the enemy will just look at you that way because you're really not fighting. You're not putting yourself in position to fight. It's almost as if Joshua was to go search out for men, which he did, to go fight. When people heard that Joshua was going to find people to fight, other people turned around and walked away. Anybody ever been a part of that or seen that? Where maybe your office is looking for a work party, and then all of a sudden you find out they're looking for a work party. You kind of act like you got to go do something else so that you're not involved in the group of people that's chosen. I wonder if that's what happened when Joshua went to go search out some men to go fight, and others are like, oh, what, ma'am? Oh, what, honey? Oh, yeah, and just to get away so that they wouldn't be chosen. Don't be like that. I'm thankful that we have a church, a body of believers who are fighting. And if you are not, wake up, fight, because we must learn to fight this spiritual fight that we are in, because God has given us a staff. He's given us the authority. Holy Spirit is living within us as believers. This is evidence that we are his kids. This is evidence that we have his authority. This is evidence that we can stand on God's word and tell the devil what to do instead of having weak knees and looking at the... No. We can crush him by what Jesus did, by what Jesus said. We have the authority. So we have that staff. And as you are praying for the leadership, if you're praying for your pastors, as you're praying for the teachers and the assistant teachers, that they'll be prepared, and that this is a prayer that I encourage you to just, if you want to write down, God, I pray that the teachers will be able to see what you see in the lives of their students. I have no idea what's going on in your lives behind your front door, but if the Lord reveals something to me and I start praying, and a lot of times, majority of the times, about maybe 60-70%, I have no idea. I just feel this strong desire to pray for you in the spirit, and I begin to pray. And then I begin to pray for a strong marriage. I begin to pray for protection. I begin to pray for the children. As the Lord leads me. But first and foremost, about 80%, I'm praying in the spirit as the Lord brings your family, your faces up to my mind. And sometimes it's like, even just like right now, because I know some of you are not sitting where you normally sit, and some of you always sit where you normally sit, but it's like the Lord will just show me your face right where you're at, and I begin to pray. And so wherever you're at, if you see your Sunday school teachers or your children's teachers or any of the teachers of Hidden Treasures, and the Lord brings them to your mind, begin to pray for them and pray this prayer. God, help them to see what you see in the lives of their students. So as they're praying and preparing for their class, the Lord will begin to speak to them about what's going on in situations. And that's going to be a cool thing. So learn to take the authority that God has given us. So go back to that slide with Moses and Aaron, and let's have my Moses and Aaron come up. And so as long as they kept the staff up in the air, the staff of God, Israel had the upper hand. But then it says in verse 12, Moses' arm soon became tired. And so, you know, I became tired. And at that point, I didn't even have something to sit on. And so my arms became tired and I had the staff. And so it says that that he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone. This is the stone. All right. And for him to sit on, then they stood on each side of Moses holding up his hand. So hold up my hands, guys. So his hands held steady until sunset. Now, normally, people would end up putting Moses on the front cover or the front page of the Sports Illustrated magazine because he did so much. But Aaron and Hur played such a pivotal role in this, in the people of God overcoming and winning this battle. So don't put Moses on a high pedestal. Okay? The fact that if Moses was to actually have some interview, he would probably, you know, say something, you know, about these two guys, because it wasn't just him. It was God, because of the authority and the power of holding up that staff, but it was also having these guys with him. And this is just a picture that ministry is not just by one person. It takes us together, to work together, to minister together, to pray together, to spiritually fight together. And notice that in this passage, it doesn't say that Hur and Aaron are throwing rocks off the hill and hitting, you know, some of the guys, you know, hey, Aaron, I know you got some good aim. Go ahead and throw that rock and hit. No, they were that's all they were doing. So to a common person, this is how you guys fight? you guys must be like defeated, because you guys, I mean, this is how you, yes, because our strength comes from God. Our power and our protection comes from God and God alone. And this resulted in them winning. This, when they weren't around, resulted in them losing. Because scripture says, as soon as his arms were down, the advantage was on the army of Amalek. But once my boys lifted up my hands and I'm praying, the advantage was now God's people. Amen. You can go ahead and sit down. Thank you, guys. I wanted to share this. And again, this is why I'm very thankful for the people of Hidden Treasures who are praying with us, for us, in ministry alongside us. Because when it becomes difficult, it's really good. When things become difficult in life, it's always good to have somebody that you can call on that you know will pray. And not just pray. I use this phrase. I'm not trying to judge anyone or put anybody down. But to have an assurance that if I call on someone to pray, they're not going to be rinky-dink prayers. We're coming to the time of Christmas. It's not going to be misfit prayer. Something that just isn't really, you know, put to heart. Something that's not, you know, full of oomph, but to know that people will pray for us, to know that people will pray for the leadership and as I kind of put it, the arms, men's ministry, women's ministry, youth ministry, children's ministry, BGMC. I mean, all the arms of this church, the food pantry ministry. I mean, all of these of how we impact this community and how we glorify God through different ministries and avenues coming out of Hidden Treasures. Pray for them. Pray for those different arms. And so I wanted to share this because Moses wasn't interviewed after this battle, but if he was, he might have said something like this: I'd like to thank God for giving me the ability to stand up and fight for these people. I'd also like to give a shout out to my boys, Aaron and Hur, yeah, for standing with me, making sure that my hands remained up in the air. That was the direct result for the W, for the win. It was a fight till the end. You know how some of those, they give interviews, sports interviews, it's always cliches. It's a fight to the end. We left it all on the battlefield. And in the end, with God's help, my warriors' help, and everyone fighting because we fought all day long and won. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. God's people. Ready? 1, 2, 3. God's people. Right? So, I mean, it's if he was to be interviewed, but he wasn't. And I don't think that he put any emphasis on the people. The emphasis was on God. And we don't, for the sake of time, we're not going to go there. But if you want to go to Exodus 17, verses just before that, 1 through 7, you're going to find that there was a lot of complaining involved by the very people that Moses was lifting his hands up for. They were complaining and blaming him because they didn't have water and they were thirsty. So God gave Moses instructions what to do to give thirst to the people. The people that were complaining to Moses, "You brought us all out here in the desert just to die and die of thirst." And just a few more scriptures later, I have no idea the time frame, but in scripture we find just a couple scriptures later, there's an army fighting against God's people. Moses says, "Joseph, go find some men to fight. I'm going to stand on that hill, and I'm going to lift my hand and the staff of God, and we're going to win this fight." It's awesome to know that in ministry, sometimes it's not fun. But when your focus is on the end, everything is worth it. Whatever comes against you is worth it. To see the lost come to Christ, to see believers discipled and growing and maturing in their faith so that they can see more people come to know Christ and so that the church can grow so that we can grow together. And it's not just one person. It's a whole collective group of people that are saying, "God, here I am. If you can use anything in me, God, here I am and use me." So I want to say I'm thankful to the people that God brought to Hidden Treasures. Whether you're here for a year, whether you're here for 10 years, whether you retire and see your grandkids graduate, you'll probably, if we're here long enough, you'll follow me as I see my kids graduate, all of them, and gray-haired probably. Hopefully, I still have my hair, but till Jesus calls us home or till Jesus comes, I am thankful for the people that God brings to Hidden Treasures. Let's see this community, the lost come to Christ. Let's see ourselves growing together and fighting this good fight of faith, spiritually fighting against the real enemy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Father, Lord, for the people that you bring, Lord, to this church, that we can all grow together in the unity, Lord, in the unity, Father God, that you have for us, Lord, to grow together, Lord, to live and to worship you together. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, through your Holy Spirit, and the power, Father God, that you've given to us by your Holy Spirit, Lord, we can finish the fight, we can finish the race, and we can actually say what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.